Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Zach Zaidman.
You know, back in the day, I used to live the life. Not a Bieber life, but
no.
I used to live the life.
Zach Zaidman.
Are you serious?
That's an interesting question, Dave.
Fly the W! Well,
4:32 for the Chicago Wolves update.
4:31.
Approaching 4:32 for the...
Just saw Zach fire an empty coffee cup.
It's Zach Zaidman on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
I thought it was Max Zaidman. I'm sorry.
Chicago Sports Station.
And here come the Bulls off of Curry. Turnover. Madison Zellis with the two-handed stuff. Counted in a foul from the left angle. And Mattis Bezelis is showcasing his dunking skills in this building where he's going to be in 3 weeks. Or at least we hope.
Tremendous power, left-handed batter waiting, and the 1-2 pitch from Shota. Fastball, strike three called. Surprise, surprise. Olsen certainly wasn't looking for it. The inning comes to an end.
See where Caleb Williams goes here. Pressure comes. Gets away from Van Ginkel. Still under pressure. Floats it down the sideline. And somehow Swift finds it. DeAndre Swift didn't locate it at first. And then it dropped in his lap at the 11. First down, Chicago.
I don't know about you, but I hate the weekend before Super Bowl weekend because it's a reminder that football is about to end, and that's no fun. You know my thoughts on football, right? Even bad football is still football, and everyone loves football. But after the big game next weekend, we'll still have the Bulls, right? And spring training is about to start. And I know the last couple of years have not been fun when it comes to our sports teams. But I feel like that's about to change. All the teams are ready to start climbing out of the valley. Now, hear me out. Baseball-wise, both the Cubs and White Sox have top 10 farm systems in just about every ranking that's been produced over the last month by all the credible outlets. The Cubs should be considered the favorites, right, to win the National League Central. Kyle Tucker, Ryan Pressly get added to a nucleus that includes the likes of Shota, Happ, Horner, Seiya, Swanson, PCA, and more. And if they need to and or want to, they can always add more via trades during the season. And who knows what some of their very top prospects, like Matt Shaw, will end up contributing this year. That's going to take a little longer for the Sox, but at least they're giving you hope. You can finally begin to see the plan with some premier prospects. Noah Schultz, Colson Montgomery, Kyle Teal, Edgar Caro, Hagen Smith, and more. Now, with basketball, those of you who are able to watch the Bulls, and you just heard Chuck with that fantastic call, you know you're seeing something special in Modest Bouzelis. And not just the flash plays that wow you on social media. Now, there's a deep draft coming up, and who knows what kind of assets the Bulls will possess after the trading deadline and then after the draft. See, we're starting to climb out of this sports valley, and I haven't even started talking Bears yet. Hi, everyone. A pleasant good morning to you. Hope you're having a great weekend. Zach Zaidman, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We've got Sean Sears on the other side of the partition, making sure we blast through the speakers of your radio and as well as all of your smart devices, right? We're here until 2 o'clock. We're going to be talking to a whole bunch of people between now and then. The Chicago Tribune's Brad Biggs will talk football with us coming up, in about 15 minutes from right now. He's just back from the Senior Bowl. What's he heard about what's next for the Bears? At 11:40, we'll head down to New Orleans and learn all about new Bears defensive coordinator Dennis Allen. At noon, we talk baseball with Boog. Cubs TV man John Shambi will join us to talk about what the Cubs have added this offseason and if we should expect more. At 12:40, the Hublisher, Hub Arkish, will visit with us. He's always got compelling football thoughts. And then a Super Bowl preview coming up at 1 o'clock with NFL Network's Stacey Dales. You are a big part of the program, too. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We will take calls throughout. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. First, though, a few thoughts. From Nick Saban to Bruce Arians. Over the years, the Bears have always been linked to some of the biggest names in football when they've had coaching vacancies. And yet somehow they've ended up with guys you never heard of before they ended up taking the job. You know what I'm talking about. Dick Geron, Mark Trestman, Matt Nagy, Matt Eberflus.
At our place, we're really trying to grow the man because we think growing the man helps our football team.
And that is what makes this offseason different. You didn't have to run to Google to learn all about the Bears' new head coach. Ben Johnson and Mike Vrabel were considered the top coaching candidates available in this cycle. And the Bears, yes, the Bears got one of them. When is the last time that happened? There's a whole generation of Bears fans that have never seen it happen until this offseason. Johnson is considered one of the brightest and most innovative offensive minds in the game today, right up there with Andy Reid, Sean McVay, and Kyle Shanahan. Now, does that mean Johnson will be as good of a head coach as those guys? Impossible to answer right now. I don't care how impressive Ben Johnson looked and sounded at his opening press conference, you just don't know. Opening press conferences are like preseason football. They're not true indicators of what's to come. Many mock Dan Campbell in Detroit for his introduction presser. Remember how he talked about biting kneecaps and all that kind of stuff? Nick Sirianni was panned in Philadelphia when he started talking about watering flowers in his opening press conference. But both guys are considered top-tier coaches today. Sirianni has led the Eagles to Super Bowl number 2 in his tenure, and Campbell credited with flipping around the Detroit Lions. They were a laughingstock in the NFL before he became head coach. So I don't know if Johnson's going to be a good head coach, and neither do you. But if you want to find out how good Caleb Williams is, there was no better candidate available. Period. No one in the NFL questions what Johnson can do offensively. So Caleb Williams will be put in the best possible position to succeed, I think. And the word think is doing a lot of heavy lifting there, right? I say that for a number of reasons. There's this notion in our city that Jaden Daniels, the quarterback taken right after Williams, the quarterback who led Washington to the NFC Championship game with not much more around him than Williams. There's this notion in our city that Daniels only looked as good as he did for the Commanders because of coaching, and that Williams didn't because of coaching. And I don't think that's fair to Daniels. Like, do you think Washington would have been in the NFC Championship game last week if Williams was the quarterback? Take it a step further. If you polled NFL executives right now, how many quarterbacks in the NFC would be picked ahead of Daniels? Think about it. You got Jalen Hurts in the Super Bowl. I don't think you're taking him over Daniels. Jared Goff has put up some phenomenal numbers the last few seasons with Ben Johnson in Detroit. I don't think you're taking him over Daniels going forward, right? Matthew Stafford is 105 years old, and he still looks fantastic out there for the Rams. You're not taking him over Daniels. Baker Mayfield has had this resurgence in Tampa. You're not taking him over Daniels. And as great as Sam Darnold was until the final game of the regular season and the playoff game that he lost, you're not taking him over Daniels. Is there anyone else? Dak Prescott coming off the injury, you're not taking him over Daniels. That's because Daniels looked borderline elite. Daniels is exactly what many in this city thought Justin Fields would develop into. And to be fair, Daniels did for Washington what we thought Caleb Williams would do for the Bears. And Williams didn't come close. He was never as poised or as productive as Daniels was this season. How could he be, right? How could anyone be with two head coaches, three offensive coordinators, players giving up in the middle of plays, whether it's talking to fans and forgetting to defend or simply refusing to run a route to its completion, talking about vacation, publicly complaining about the coaches and the schemes, like beginning in week two. What scares me is that the same GM who constructed the mess that Caleb had to deal with in year one is still the GM who will construct the team in year two for Caleb. Why should we trust that general manager? 3 years in, this is what it looks like. 15 total wins. 15. And it's not as though the Bears were trying to rebuild. Like, you don't make the trade for Montez Sweat if you're looking to rebuild, right? I mean, I'm confused here. Chase Claypool wasn't acquired to rebuild. You were acquiring him to try and win. Yet you also gave away guys that we were told were washed up. Like Khalil Mack, still a factor. I don't know where he signs this offseason, but it's going to be for a team that likely makes the playoffs because he's an impact player to this very day. David Montgomery is an impact player to this very day. Roquan Smith is an impact player in the NFL to this very day. And all those guys were considered leaders. And the Bears clearly lacked the kind of leadership those guys bring into the locker room this season. 15 total wins in 3 years. And in the last 2 years specifically, Ryan Poles has passed up on Jaden Daniels, C.J. Stroud, Bo Nix, and Drake May. And yet in this city, we just assume Caleb is going to be great because we were told that he was great. We were told that he was going to be generational. He was not, didn't come close to it. And that doesn't mean that you're ripping Caleb Williams. He's just not what anyone thought the Bears were getting when they made him the number one overall pick last year. And I don't think anyone in this city has prepared for the possibility that Caleb Williams may just be good. And that's who he is. He's just a good, average quarterback. And he may never be great. He may never be as good as what you saw from Jaden Daniels this year. He may never be the kind of quarterback, because you can rip C.J. Stroud if you want, right? Had a down year this year after a stellar rookie season. He still led his team to a playoff win coming off a bad year. I don't know. I don't know what Caleb Williams is, but I know this. The excuses end in 2025, because Caleb Williams could not be teamed up with a better offensive mind than Ben Johnson. I don't want to hear excuses. If you're great, it's time to see the greatness. It's time to produce. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We'll take your calls throughout as time permits. Try to get in as many as possible. We've got a packed show. First up, Brad Biggs talks football with us next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Zach Zaidman on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
There's no question that experience, whether it's coordinators or elsewhere within the coaching staff, will be important to me.
That is the voice of new Bears head coach Ben Johnson talking about the things that he's looking for in terms of trying to help him be the best head coach possible. We know that he's a brilliant offensive mind, but you need more than that to be able to get the Bears out of the position that they've been in the last few years and start to win games on a regular basis, because Andy Reid is a terrific offensive mind. Sean McVay is a terrific offensive mind. Kyle Shanahan is a terrific offensive mind. But the reason their teams win is because those guys, in addition to being brilliant offensive minds, are really good head coaches. And that's the next step for Ben Johnson as an NFL man. Zach Zaidman with you until 2 o'clock. We've got a packed show. We're talking a lot of football, some baseball, a little bit of everything here today. And leading things off for us is the one and only Chicago Tribune football man, Brad Biggs, who talks football with us. And Brad joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Brad, good morning. So happy to have you with us. Thank you. You're just back from the Senior Bowl. And I think one of the cool things about the Senior Bowl is it's the first chance in an off season, and I know the Super Bowl is next week, but as the off season begins, it really begins at the Senior Bowl, and it's the first chance for us to really find out what is being talked about behind the scenes when it comes to the NFL. Is there anything that struck you in terms of the themes this off season?
Boy, that's a good question, Zach. I think overall, couple topics. Number one, the strength of this draft is probably in some depth in terms of, there's not, I think, a ton of difference when you talk to different people about what you could get from the end of round one toward the end of round two. Like, it's going to be a wide open round one. I think it's going to be a wide open top 10. You don't have elite quarterbacks, at least I don't think. There's going to be a big run on them. You know, Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward could go relatively high, but as we see with a lot of quarterbacks, oftentimes they're overdrafted. And you've got, some depth at tight end, offensive line, running back. So it's going to be interesting, and if those strengths prove to be true, that could set up well for the Bears, who've got some extra draft capital, who have some needs at those positions. And then I think generally overall free agency isn't great. And the Bears have obviously been heavily involved in free agency for most off seasons in the last decade or so. They've got a lot of cap room. I know there's some buzz about what they could accomplish in that regard. So it's going to be fascinating. You know, Ben Johnson came from the Detroit Lions, who have been, under Brad Holmes, the general manager there, pretty selective with what they do in free agency. Not a lot of big deals done by the Lions. They've built that thing largely through the draft.
It's great that you mention that, because when Ben Johnson was hired, the immediate belief here by a lot of fans, and you heard this through your interactions with them, is that the Bears are going to turn into what we saw the Lions offense look like. And then Johnson tells us that he's going to start from scratch, tear the whole thing down and build back up. Do you have any idea from the people that you've talked to what the model is going to be for Caleb Williams?
Well, I think some of the basic stuff is going to remain the same. I mean, there's like, everybody's pass routes are largely the same. Okay. The run plays, you talk to Olin Krutz, there's like four or five run plays, right? And everybody runs the same things. Now you dress them up a little bit differently. You got to execute them. And, John Shoup said something when I talked to him last month, the former Bears offensive coordinator who knows Ben Johnson and his family really well. Like, John lives in Asheville, North Carolina. That's where Ben Johnson's from. John Shoup was the offensive coordinator at North Carolina when Ben Johnson was a backup quarterback there. And he talked about making simple things look complex. And, it's going to be interesting. They're not going to do the same things that they did consistently with Jared Goff, but I think the basic stuff that they install is going to be similar. Like, you're not going to ask Caleb to be Jared Goff, but you're going to ask him to run similar concepts, and you're going to ask him to execute those concepts and the players around him. Like, they've got to get better as a group, and they're going to need upgraded personnel as well, because it is appropriate, I think, to be excited about Ben Johnson and the new staff that he's putting together and what they can bring to the Chicago Bears. Ultimately, it's a players league. And you look at the teams that advance in the playoffs, and they've got the best players. Like the Philadelphia Eagles, a lot of people think they've got the best roster top to bottom in the league. Well, they're going to play a week from tomorrow in Super Bowl 59. At the end of the day, when you peel it all back and you get done looking at it, sometimes it's more about Jimmy's and Joe's than X's and O's.
So where do the Bears offensively need to find some more Jimmys and Joes in order to help Caleb Williams look like the guy that quite frankly, he wasn't this year, but people believe he was going to be coming out of USC?
Yeah, well, I mean, they might need a Jimmy, a Joe, and a Mark on the offensive line. Like, that's where I'd start. I would start in the trenches. I would evaluate how you're going to resolve what's largely been a revolving door at the center position, and it wasn't game to game this past season. Coleman Shelton started all 17 regular season games, but it's been a revolving door kind of from year to year at that center position. How do you fix that? And that probably leads you to free agency, because it's a particularly poor class for centers in this draft, in talking to a wide variety of people about their expectations for what will unfold in April. Everybody's connected the dots from Trey Smith, the all-pro guard with the Chiefs, to the Bears. If Trey Smith makes it to the open market, and Kansas City's got a host of young players it needs to consider paying, Bolton, the linebacker, George Karloftis, the edge rusher, Trent McDuffie, the cornerback. Like, that's a good problem for Kansas City to have. And if Smith is a guy that just doesn't quite fit into what they can accomplish financially, makes sense for the Bears. And a lot of other teams it makes sense for, too, that have a lot of cap space and the ability to write the kind of contract that it's going to take to get him signed. So you're looking at an overhaul guard to guard, I think, on the interior of the offensive line. And then you're wondering, does a left tackle fit into the mix? Are they in position to get one that they really like? Or do you go guard to guard and say, you know what, we'll run it back with Braxton Jones. We felt relatively comfortable with where he's at, and with better pieces around him, we feel like he'll be better as well. Those are questions that I think they're going to need to find answers for in the coming months. That's not going to happen this weekend, next week. That's probably not going to happen before the combine. It's going to take them a while to sort through all of that.
Talking Bears with Chicago Tribune football man Brad Biggs here on The Score. Brad, much is made, and rightfully so, about the relationship that the offensive play caller has with the quarterback. But just as important is the play caller's relationship with the offensive line coach in order to be able to maximize what you have up front and create the illusion of difficult plays that might be run, and then they become simple because of the execution. Who is going to be that offensive line coach here?
Yeah, that's a good question. They've spoken to Dan Ruschar, I believe. I think the interview was set for yesterday. He's been at Tulane the past couple years. He had a 10-year run in the NFL with the Saints. And so Ben Johnson can lean on a couple people for an evaluation of Ruschar's work. First and foremost, Dan Campbell, who he obviously worked closely with in Detroit, and, you know, is a kind of a mentor, and he values his opinion. And then the new offensive coordinator, Declan Doyle, he cut his teeth in the NFL with his first four seasons in New Orleans. So he's worked with Ruschar as well, who's well regarded, spent some time previously at Illinois. I think he was even at NIU back in the 90s when the Huskies had a pretty good program at the time. So that's probably the top candidate right now. You know, they interviewed Justin Fry. I reported that from Mobile, the Ohio State offensive line coach, and reports came out this morning that he signed on with the Arizona Cardinals. to become the offensive line coach for them. So that would rule him out. We'll have to see where it goes. You would think that they'd probably get this resolved in the next couple days, but you want to get the right guy. You don't want to get the first guy that you can have sign on.
So one of the things I'm really curious about, especially when it comes to personnel, you know, Ryan Poles, his right-hand man Ian Cunningham, both former linemen, and yet for whatever reason that's been an Achilles heel under their stewardship the last couple of years here. Now Ben Johnson comes in, and you know he's going to bring in coaches underneath him that he trusts. Who has the final say on the actual roster? Does Ben Johnson have the ability to get the guys that he wants, or is that totally Ryan Poles' thing?
I think, as far as I know, Ryan Poles still has control of the 53-man roster, and Ben Johnson's fine with that. But Ryan Poles isn't going to go out and add players to the mix that the coach isn't excited about. Like, they're going to have to work hand in hand and be aligned in their vision. And are those discussions always going to start out with everybody on the same page? No, of course not. But I think you work toward that as a goal, and you get a sense and a feeling for what traits and how different people value certain players. Pretty soon, you would imagine they start seeing things through a similar lens, so they can accomplish that goal. That's an important question, because when the personnel staff and the coaching staff kind of aren't in lockstep, and everyone tells you they're always in lockstep, but we know that's not the case. When they're not in lockstep, then you've got issues. But I don't see that being a problem for them. Like, Ben Johnson had options, and he had good options, and I don't think he would have signed up to be the Bears coach if he didn't feel like he was going to be able to achieve that partnership with Ryan Poles in terms of evaluating rosters and having input on the process, right? Free agency, draft, trades, you name it. Like, they've got to see that thing in the same light.
We've spent so much time, and rightfully so, talking about the offense, because the head coach is an offensive minded guy, and all of this I think hinges on the development of Caleb Williams. But when the Bears entered last season, they were thought to have a defense that was the backbone of this team. What are the Bears defensively now?
Well, they're kind of in flux a little bit. Like, there's some nice pieces there, but you need to add some more, and you need to make sure that they're kind of all rowing the boat in the same direction, in the same manner. They've got to get better in the trenches, I think, Zach. Like, when we talk about where the focus is going to have to be for this offense, I think that's where you want to start. With that defense, too, they need to add some more difference makers, right? Because they didn't tilt the field enough. They were fantastic in the red zone, second or third in the league in the red zone, but they just fell off in too many other key categories. The run defense struggled. Obviously, the loss of Andrew Billings, the nose tackle to an injury, affected them a lot, and maybe more than it should have, or they had hoped, and that certainly speaks to Billings' value, and he should bounce back and be fine this coming season. But they need some more guys. They need to be able to get after the quarterback a little bit more effectively with their base personnel without blitzing. Like, they need guys that can win one-on-ones and affect the opposing quarterback.
All right, Brad, before we let you go, there's this notion, and I talked about it in the open, that there's this notion in this city that the reason Jaden Daniels was so successful this season with Washington is because he just had better coaches around him than what Caleb Williams had here. But I think people are diminishing what Daniels did, if that's all they say. because I don't think you could take Caleb Williams, put him in Washington, and I don't think that the Commanders would have been playing in the NFC Championship game with Caleb Williams as their quarterback this year. Daniels was borderline elite. So that's what's expected of Caleb Williams. Where does he need to grow beyond having a better scheme, having some stability, you know, getting rid of the dysfunction that was here last season? Where does he need to grow just as a quarterback on his own, the things he can control?
Yeah, they've got a lot of ground to cover to get to where Washington was offensively as a unit. When you talk about just Caleb versus Jaden, I think there's a lot of ground to cover there. Because Jaden Daniels was fantastic. I mean, it was a tremendous rookie season for him, and I think Caleb's got to get a little bit better in the pocket, and they've got to make the pocket more sound and stable for him. But he's got to be more accurate, they've got. They're going to strip that thing down, I would imagine, and really kind of fine tune some of the things that they're doing with him. And hopefully they can see a lot of growth in year two because they remain really optimistic about his future. But there's ground to cover, Zach. And I think that's fair and accurate to say when you evaluate the two teams and the two quarterbacks.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent there. There's no doubt that when you watch Caleb, you see the talent in flashes. But in order to be good, you need to see the routine done routinely well. And we did not see that in year one.
No, absolutely. You're 100% correct. Like, you know, they couldn't do anything in the first quarter. And that's not all on Caleb. Like, that's coaches, that's the players around him, that's everything. They need to go out and be able to stack together game after game after game where you look back on it and say, man, boy, he was really good last month. And you go back and you look at it and you're like, yeah, that wasn't the case. And that seemingly happened month after month for Washington. They had a little bit of a blip mid-season. I think the Commanders did. I think that's probably accurate to say. But, man, they moved past that, and it came on really strong at the end. And what the Commanders did was they won close games consistently, week after week. They were making plays in the fourth quarter, and Jaden Daniels had a heck of a lot to do with that.
Great stuff, Brad. Thank you so much for finding some time to talk some football with us today.
Have a great weekend, Zach.
You too. Brad Biggs, Chicago Tribune's football man, spending some time with us fresh out of Mobile, back from the Senior Bowl, and I love it. We always get a lot of stuff from Brad. When we come back, we'll find out more about what the Bears' new defense is going to look like. We'll head down to New Orleans, the stomping ground of the new defensive coordinator. Zach Zaidman with you until 2 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I think we're always looking for talent acquisition, player acquisition, guys that we feel like can come in and fit into our system that can help us grow as a defensive line. But what our job is as coaches, our job is to develop. We're going to take the pieces that we have in place. We're going to add the necessary ingredients that we need to create what we need to be able to do from a defensive standpoint. So I'm excited about working with the guys that we have, and I'm looking forward to working with, you know, Ryan and his staff to see if we can't find some pieces to add to it.
Zach Zaidman on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The voice you just heard was that of the new Bears defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen. He comes with a lot of experience, including of the head coaching variety with the Raiders and the Saints. And let's find out a little bit more about who Dennis Allen is. Now joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline is Matt Parrish, who covers the Saints for NOLA.com. Download the Circa app today. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. Good morning. What are the Bears getting in Dennis Allen?
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, the Bears are getting a very sound defensive coach. You know, for as much as Dennis Allen's tenure down here didn't work out as a head coach, he was still a pretty bright defensive mind. His defenses until really this past season, were very solid. They play really fundamentally sound. They're very aggressive in the way they play. And he likes his big defensive ends, his strong cornerbacks to play press man coverage. And he's a really smart defensive coordinator. And I thought it was a really good hire by the Bears.
You know, Matt, it's interesting that you talk about his mentality as a defensive coordinator. With the Bears, he's almost going to be like the head coach of defense, because Ben Johnson, the rookie head coach that the Bears now have, at least initially, you know, the focus is going to be on fixing the offense and getting Caleb Williams right. So what is Allen like just as a leader of men?
Yeah, in New Orleans, he had command of that defense for sure. I think he frustrated some players at times with kind of a lack of communication. He wasn't necessarily on the same page with Cam Jordan this past season, as they reduced Cam's role when he was there. Cam's getting a little bit older. He had played as few as 10 snaps in the Carolina game and didn't really go over well. But besides that, I mean, he can coach up players. Like, if you look at New Orleans secondary throughout the time he was there, I mean, those corners played lights out. He got really good safety play. Guys move fast to the ball. Like, he can command a room. I don't necessarily think it was as gripping as it needed to be maybe for a head coach, but as a defensive coordinator, you know, and he's going to be leading the defense. Like, Sean Payton trusted him to run the defense in New Orleans too. So he can definitely do that. And I think it is a good, like, a rebound place for him. And it's an important voice for Ben Johnson to lean on too, given Dennis Allen has head coaching experience.
By the way, who's going to be the head coach of the Saints?
Good question. I believe it's going to be Kellen Moore, I think. I mean, that's all what the direction there was pointing to right now. They have to wait until after the Super Bowl to hire him. But they've met with him twice now. They want to meet with him again. And so he's the leading candidate. And unless he declines the job, then they might have to go back to Darren Rizzi or something. But it looks like it's going to be Kellen Moore.
We are talking with Matt Parrish, who covers the Saints for NOLA.com. And the reason we're talking to him is the Bears have hired Dennis Allen, former Saints head coach, who is now running the Bears defense. And you mentioned this, and I hope you can give us some examples here. You talked about him as a teacher when it comes to the defense. There are going to be some young eyes added to this mix for the Bears. What's he like as a teacher? Can you give us some examples?
Yeah. So I just will look kind of toward the player development of it all. Like, a guy like Paulson Adebo, who is a corner in New Orleans, a third round pick, really blossomed nicely into a starter, learned to play the way that New Orleans had wanted, which is kind of, you know, really press on the outside, lock your guy up. Now, Adebo kind of had some problems with holding a little bit too often, but I think that's kind of the style that they want to play with. Another example is with Alante Taylor, the cornerback they drafted in the second round. He's more of an outside guy, and they moved him to inside. It was a really rough, bumpy adjustment at first, but they really worked with him, and by the end of Allen's tenure, he became a really good nickel corner and kind of bought into it. He had to learn how to accept kind of that role, but they work with those type of guys to say, like, it doesn't matter if you were drafted to be an outside corner, like, embrace your role. And I think he got guys to do that.
Matt, why did it go wrong for Allen as a head coach with the Saints?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think part of it was the roster was aging a little bit. Like, you look at how his defense really fell off this past season. They had a 7-game losing streak. His first 2 years had some uneven quarterback play. They brought in Derek Carr to be the answer there, and he played okay, but they really just – it really boiled down to they really weren't able to beat the best teams. Like, they were okay against the teams that they were supposed to beat, but they weren't able to kind of rise above that. And that pretty much sank them until the wheels came off. They had a ton of injuries this past season.
and that didn't do him any favors as well.
All right. On the way out, and Matt, we appreciate your time. You did go to DePaul.
I did.
I need your impressions on the Chris Holtmann era here in year one.
I want to believe I have been encouraged by the stuff he's been able to do, but man, it feels like it's the same story every season. You know, strong non-conference play, conference play starts, and they just like rip the cord out. But I'm hoping it's different. I mean, that Georgetown game was fun, but I saw that they were up on UConn, and did I believe that they were going to beat UConn the other day? No, I did not. So I will believe once I start believing that they can actually pull some of these games out, but I hope he does it because I'm rooting for him.
He's done a nice job of establishing a foundation. Hey, Matt, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks.
Matt Paris, who covers the Saints for NOLA.com. And I think the thing that stands out to me about Dennis Allen is I like the fact that the Bears are going to be a little bit more aggressive. Because when you start to think about the things that Dan Campbell did in Detroit, the things that influenced what Ben Johnson saw firsthand, you saw a team that was never afraid, always the aggressor. And I think it would be nice to see some of that from the Bears under this new regime. Because one of the things that I think was very frustrating watching the Bears in the Matt Eberflus era, they played not to lose. And it's hard to win when you're constantly playing not to lose. It's almost as though you're coaching afraid, and I think that trickles down to your players because what you're telling them is we don't believe in you to be able to make the play. We just don't want you to make a mistake. And I don't think it's fun to be able to play that way. You look at some of the best teams in football year in, year out. They're teams that are aggressive. You know, when you look at the Philadelphia Eagles and the success that they've had lately, it's because they're an aggressive unit. You look at why the Lions have been able to fix this thing in Detroit after years and years and years of losing is because they're an aggressive bunch. And you look at why the Rams are good, and they've been able to rebuild without going through the pain of rebuilding. It's because they're aggressive. And it would be nice if the Bears gave you a little bit of that. Now, you've got to be fundamentally sound. There's no question about that in order to earn the right to be aggressive. And that's where Ben Johnson's coaching is going to come in on both sides of the ball, being able to make sure that you don't do silly things and that there's a consequence if, for example, you ever even think about doing what Tyrique Stevenson did in that Washington game. There has to be a fear to even think about doing that. And clearly, there wasn't over the last 3 years here. I just felt like players were doing whatever they wanted, and it took away from the team concept. And then you had this was the whole thing about why Caleb was just put into a bad situation. You had a coach that knew he had to win in order to keep the job. So he coached scared. It was very conservative. And when I think of Caleb Williams, I think of a guy. What was the big thing we heard? This guy's a gunslinger, right? They compared him to Rodgers and Favre. And he doesn't throw a lot of picks. But let him do the things that made him the kind of quarterback that would become a number one pick. And I just don't understand. The whole mix was bad. So thankfully, the Bears hit the reset button, and hopefully they didn't destroy Caleb in year one. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll shift gears, talk some baseball with Boog next. Zach Zidman with you until 2 o'clock on The Score.